All right, so FedRAMP has been brewing for a long time, what, a year or maybe more?
Almost pushing 2 years in terms of the entire process, but at least a good solid year since they released the draft standards.
So what does it actually say now that we have the real, original, full thing?
Now that the first version one of the final is out there, mm-hmm. basically, as we've been reporting over the last few months, FedRAMP details the roles and responsibilities of the General Services Administration, the Defense Department, and the Homeland Security Department in ensuring cloud products and services are secure. It describes, in short, the process by which vendors will have to go through to get their cloud products and services approved for use by agencies. This includes the creation of a joint authorization board led by GSA, DHS, and DOD, the potential for the naming of the third-party accreditors who will recommend approval to this authorization board. They don't say who the third parties are, mm-hmm. but the fact is we will have them, and there will be a process by which those third parties will be named.
Okay.
And the creation of a program management office within GSA to basically make sure that this whole FedRAMP process runs smoothly. So what does this all mean for agencies? Well, Stephen Van Roekel is the Federal Chief Information Officer. He explains what FedRAMP does for agencies.
It creates a government-wide process for the secure use of cloud computing that reflects consensus among all these key agencies and stakeholders and has been very extensively vetted through councils, academia, and the industry. But this is a first step. We're going to continue to get feedback. We're going to continue to evolve and take the FedRAMP process forward. The other encouraging thing about FedRAMP is that the federal government spends hundreds of millions of dollars a year securing IT systems, and much of that work is duplicative, inconsistent, and time-consuming. One of the promises and the benefits of FedRAMP is that we think it'll save about 30 to 40% of government-wide costs associated with assessing, authorizing, securing, and continuously monitoring the solutions.
Now, for vendors, this FedRAMP release means something different. And Dave McClure, the aforementioned cake eater, is the Associate Administrator for GSA's Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies.
We're working out and we'll be issuing some specific guidance to industry for how they would put their product or service into the formal FedRAMP process. But industry products and services in the cloud space, first of all, will be evaluated against the baseline set of controls. Secondly, we will expect industry products and services to be evaluated using these third-party assessment organizations. So those are two requirements that industry will be paying attention to. What we're trying to do is make sure that we don't create a bottleneck at the very beginning of this process by assuming everything can come to FedRAMP. We want those controls and those assessments, independent assessments, done well, and then the industry will find that their products and services will be much more leverageable around the government than ever before.
Now, we have a link to the memo, more information online about FedRAMP on federalnewsradio.com, so people can go there and read the 7-page memo and the slides from Stephen Van Roekel offer themselves.
All right, well, so what do I need to know before I dig into the slides and before I dig into the memo? What do I, as an agency person, need to know about FedRAMP?
I think the first thing is FedRAMP is mandatory. There's no choice. You must use it if you're going to move computing services to the cloud. Anything must go through the FedRAMP process first. Let's mm-hmm. start there. But that's actually months away, and agencies should look for some short-term changes as well. It'll take about 6 months before GSA and the Joint Authorization Board, known as the JAB, until they stand up the initial operating capabilities for FedRAMP. But even once it's up and running, agencies will still have to play a huge role in approving these cloud services. Richard Spires is the Homeland Security Department's CIO and Vice Chairman of the CIO Council.
We don't expect that CIOs will just take this stuff blindly, however. We expect them to take it and then leverage it to the degree that they need to leverage it, but they're ultimately responsible still for the full authorization of any system that they go into production with. And they will need to make adjustments as they see fit for their agency. That being said, I certainly believe that with all that we've done with these controls and really adding some additional controls to make sure that from the standpoint of cloud-based services that we are secure for the FISMA low and moderate levels, that there's a high degree of confidence. And we've had these discussions within the Federal CIO Council, and I think there's a lot of excitement, actually.
Now, Spires says he believes some agencies could use up to 90% of the FedRAMP standards to meet their needs, meaning they would obviously have to review the provisional approval from the Joint Authorization Board, but then they'd only really have to spend their time and money on that other 10%. And that's where that cost savings, that's where those benefits come in from FedRAMP. Now, it's unclear how the Joint Authorization Board will decide which services go through FedRAMP first. Now, I've reported previously that decisions will be based on what the government-wide need is for the most. So if you have a four or five agencies need something, but 30 agencies need another service, those 30 will get priority. But it's going to be interesting. What happens if Google comes in and Microsoft comes in and Amazon comes in and they all want to be first? Well, what do you do? And that's the harder part, I think, than the specific type of service. Now, I've also been told that three vendors are fairly close to meeting FedRAMP standards. They aren't there yet.
I wonder who they could be.
But let's be clear, they're not there yet.
Right.
But the difference between the authority to operate that they may have received from GSA under the infrastructure as a service contract and the FedRAMP standards is quite small. So we could see some people going through very quickly.
Okay.
Now, in the long term, agencies will have to write FedRAMP requirements into contracts. They'll have to learn to trust that JAB, the JAB provisional approval and other agencies' approval. And they're going to have to change the way they do what they call accreditation and authorization, or ANAs, or it used to be called certification accreditation. So there's a less of a, of course, the technology change. It's more of a culture change, which, again, we hear that.
All right. We're almost out of time. A couple other things that came out today in this one-year celebration that, as you say, was cake-free, which I still think is doing it wrong. One of the things that I thought was most interesting was the impact of the TechStat sessions. Very quickly, what's there?
So, interesting enough, they released a new report. Again, we have a link online about the impact of the TechStat sessions. But what they found was that agency-only TechStat sessions, this is not OMB-led ones, but agency-led ones, they say either saved or avoided spending among the agencies $931 million.
Wow.
So almost $1 billion. Now, this is when agencies have improved programs, terminated programs, rescoped them, or reduced them over the last year. In fact, we have a chart up online that shows you which agencies did what and for how many projects. It's a fascinating report.